This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
And now on Turnbuckle Trash, we turn to Christopher Evans and Chris on the Mat. We are talking today in this special edition of The Trash. We're talking Double or Nothing, All Elite Wrestling's first event, very first official event, and boy, I think a success. What do you think, Chris?
It was amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. It was about time that we had a breath of fresh air in professional wrestling, and this was the breath of fresh air. It was well-timed, well done, and the storylines were perfect.
That's what I thought. I thought the storylines were excellent for this particular event. It was a different event than what you would see on WWE, and I think it started off with a pretty good footing when they had the triple threat match. It was the women's match right at the very beginning. And then here comes Brandi Rhodes, who, by the way, is absolutely gorgeous. Oh, that woman is beautiful. And she comes out and she brings in a legend in the women's wrestling to compete. Did you get to see that part of it?
Awesome Kong. I couldn't believe it. I didn't think that she would ever be back in professional wrestling ever again. But as soon as she said that she wanted someone awesome, and then we hear this music, and then here she comes out. It's like, oh, my gosh, I do not believe what I'm looking at. Yeah, the crowd went absolutely crazy. They threw the babies in the air again. I mean, it was great. This was a refresher thing on professional wrestling. It's about time that the fans got into it and not sitting on their hands. It was awesome.
Well, that was the one thing that I noticed throughout. I want to talk more about Awesome Kong, but I want to talk about that crowd that was there in Las Vegas. There was a little funny bit right before they went into the real pay-per-view end of it. They had the Young Bucks out, Kenny Omega, and they had Brandi and Cody were out. And the Young Bucks announced that there were 20,000 people there. And Cody goes, it only hurts 13,000. He says, hey, you round up. Great line. Professional wrestling rounds up. Yeah, it was good. But back to Awesome Kong. Now, you know, she hasn't wrestled in years, and I'm not going to say anything bad, but really, her role in the match was not that much.
No, it wasn't. She was just there to bring a name into this because we've never heard of these three girls. We don't know who they are. We've never seen them in the ring. And what the heck, we might as well bring in a legend. But she was very ineffective in the match. Yeah, she had her couple of high spots, but then when she got speared into the stairs by Pocahontas or whatever her name was, that was basically the end of her. And it was a good match. I mean, that last move on this dentist or whatever, hygienist, whatever her name is, that one move, I really thought that girl was dropped on the top of her head.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, I was like, oh.
The doctor who won that match, I had seen her a couple of times on Ring of Honor. Very talented lady.
I was very impressed with all the ladies there. They put on one heck of a show. I can't say nothing bad about Awesome Kong. For a lady being that size and still can go into the ring and put on a wrestling match, congratulations, honey.
Yeah,
I
thought she did awesome. I was watching it. I said, well, her role, because she hasn't been in the ring in a while, probably has been lessened. She, you know, a couple of high spots, but that was about, and that's fine. I mean, she's a special guest. But I like the way they brought it in. It wasn't something that, you know, she just came in to win, you know, just like Brock. Oh, well, Brock Lesnar. Yeah. I think Zayn and I were texting last night. Storytelling. I mean, they told a story, and that's one of the things that I really liked. So let's talk a little bit more about some of the things that Christopher Evans enjoyed about Double or Nothing.
Well, the one thing that really caught my eye was Cody Rhodes and what he did to the throne. To take that sledgehammer and then go and hit that throne, and that's a jab to Triple H. I mean, saying, you know, forget you. But there was one thing that I didn't like about it. Now, who is this guy? I know he was a 13-year-old amputee. He has no legs whatsoever. Did you see that?
I didn't see that. I didn't see much of the pre-show. Was it on the pre-show?
It was on the pre-show. It was the Battle Royal. There was a, I think he's 27 years old, and he has no legs. Huh. He is a professional wrestler. He was just about as useless as I've ever seen. He's getting kicked around. He would lay in the corner. I thought that was in bad taste. I really didn't like. I didn't like it because every time they would go to do something to him, he would get kicked and he would just lay there, like he was nothing. But he did a 619, and he pushed himself up off the ropes and he did a hurricanrana or whatever it was, and he eliminated one person out of the Battle Royal, which was amazing.
Right.
But I just found this amputee, it's just, it left a bad taste in my mouth. I didn't like that.
Well, yeah, I will have to digress on my opinion on that because I didn't see it.
The guy did real well in the ring. Don't get me wrong. He did real well, but I just found it in bad taste that this guy has got no legs. But he's living out his dream. This is what he wanted to do.
More power to him, then.
More power to him. I have no problem with that. But the way they were grabbing him and picking him up like a little child and throwing him around like that, I was like, man, I just don't know about this. Maybe he needs to find – maybe they need to reconsider this. Other than that, the Cody incident finally the Crimson Mask was revealed again. I liked it. I loved it. I loved it. It was good. What's missing in professional wrestling now is storytelling. It's the biggest problem we're having. And the WWE needs to sit down and really focus on what's going on because these boys are not playing around.
Right.
They were good last night. It was finally something that you can honestly say, I just got satisfied by professional wrestling. Because it was perfect. It wasn't no 5 minute or 10 minute promos. It was, let's just get in here and get going. And it was good. It was finally put on like it's supposed to be. I had no problem.
I thought for an inaugural effort that it was actually just really, really good. And I put on some Facebook posts last night. And Isaiah disagreed with me. Isaiah Lovendahl, I think is how I pronounce his name. He thought that that Money in the Bank was a little bit better than Double or Nothing. And you know, I said to him, you know what? That you can have your opinion, and that's fine.
Yes, I think
it's awesome that he thought that. Isaiah, thank you so much for the comment because we at Turnbuckle Trash are all inclusive, and we let people make what they think is their opinion, and we're not going to make fun of you. We're not going to do that.
No,
we thought it was good.
We're not.
Yeah.
No. I mean, if that's what floats his boat, congratulations. That's great. I'm glad for you that you like Money in the Bank. No problem at all, man. But the thing of it is that if we see something that is good, we're going to comment on it, and we're going to respect your comments as well. But you know what? If that's what you like, if you want to see a train wreck, that's fine.
Yeah.
No problem. No problem at all. But
okay.
Double or Nothing was good.
Yeah, I thought Double Nothing was absolutely excellent. By the way, we're hoping to have Zane on with us in just a little bit. While you were talking, I was messaging with him, and hopefully Zane will call us.
Now, you know who was caught inside of AEW's crowd was Mick Foley's daughter.
Oh, she was there?
Mick Foley's daughter was there.
Uh-huh.
She was caught in the crowd. And there were some other people there that I couldn't believe that actually showed up to it. I know Vince had to be breaking every piece of furniture in his house.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it
okay,
was.
We do have a call coming in from Zane, if you will hang on with me. I will try to attempt to do this. Oh, by the way, Chris, I think, let's see if I can hit the buttons right. Ladies and gentlemen, I think on the phone with us right now is Zane, who doesn't sweat as much as Shane O'Mac. Here's Zane Peterson. Hi, Zane.
But I do have the money. I bring the money, money.
You wish.
Well, yeah, I wish. Of course.
Well, hey, I've got a bone to pick with both of you here, okay? Are you ready?
Wait a minute. No, wait. No. Let's just move on to the next thing, Dave.
No.
Wait a minute. It depends on where that bone is going to come from, so go right ahead.
Okay, now you're talking about the pins again, and they're changing into diapers very soon with me because I'm getting older. But your special edition of Turnbuckle Trash, Chris, you said it was always good to talk to your Uncle David, but better to talk to Zane. What is that all about, man?
Well, you know, it's always good to talk to you every day, but I don't get to talk to the main man, too, but I always get to talk to the doctor. So, but it's always good to talk to both of y'all at the same time.
Listen to him backpedal, Dave.
He must be a politician.
I'm not Hillary Clinton, and I sure as hell ain't Barack Obama.
Well, hey, Zane, welcome. Welcome to us. We've already talked a little bit about Double or Nothing, and I'd like to get your initial thoughts on what happened with Double or Nothing in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Well, I haven't watched the whole thing.
How dare you?
Dave, I think you better hang up on him now.
You're going to take your secret decoder ring for not watching all of Double or Nothing.
I haven't watched all of it yet.
Well, the whole country has. Why haven't you?
Well, it's kind of the whole country's also watched Game of Thrones, but, you know, I'll hang off for a while on that one.
So wait a minute. Game of Thrones is just about as good as Batman Forever.
But not as good as Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right, Zane?
Oh, yeah. Batman versus TMNT is amazing.
I'm going to have to take your word for it.
Okay. You'll watch it someday, Dave. I'm going to make sure you get it.
But, you know, I do have Batman versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic book number one. I have that.
I know. Do you have the graphic novel?
No.
Well, I guess you're not that cool then.
I'm pretty cool. My wife thinks I'm cool.
You're cool. So anyway, so I did not watch all of it. I watched some of the buy-in, the Battle Royale. I did watch. And I saw Adam Hangman Page win the Battle Royale. And then I saw the last part of the triple tag team match between the all Japanese.
Oh, that was good. That was awesome.
Boy, they got some interesting moves in Japan, don't they?
Yes, they do. So Zane, let's go back to the pre-show. I didn't get to watch the pre-show because I was, like we had talked on a previous podcast, I was doing a remote broadcast for my job. And so I didn't get home till just right before 6. So in the Battle Royale, Chris was telling me there was a handicap wrestler. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the guy with, hey, I got a joke for you real quick.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Here we go.
What do you call a guy with no arms and no legs sitting in the water?
What do you call him? He asked.
Bob.
Bob. Oh.
Okay. No, I guess I shouldn't joke about that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, hold on. They were calling him Lieutenant Dan. I mean, how can you ignore Dan?
Oh,
I don't know. That was a little different, but like, I get AEW is different.
Yeah.
I mean, as I said, that's what their whole stigma is. Yeah. AEW is a place for everyone, even Dean Ambrose. John Moxley.
So, who brought up Lieutenant Dan? Was that you, Chris?
Well, that's what one of the wrestlers said. He slapped him and goes, "Come on, Lieutenant Dan!" Smack, and he hit him again. It's like, what? Oh, that's going bad right there. I was expecting Forrest Gump to jump in the ring in a minute.
Okay, Lieutenant Dan, I'm going to tell a really quick story about Lieutenant Dan.
Oh, Lord.
One of the first dates that my wife and I went on was to see Forrest Gump. Great, tremendous movie. So we're sitting in the movie theater, and I like to watch the credits to see who was in it, who did the music, and all that kind of thing. And the actress who played Lieutenant Dan's wife at the very end, her name was Teresa Denton. Freaked me out, dudes.
That's wow.
It was That's a funny. Sign, brother. It was a sign.
It was a sign.
Yes, it was a sign, all right.
Okay, trash heads, we're coming to a portion of the podcast where I lose complete control of what's going on. Well, let's get back into the world of Double or Nothing. Here we go.
So the wrestler was, I guess he did have arms, but no legs.
Huh, I'll have to watch that. I'll have to go back and catch that just to see.
Speaking of no arms, do you know what has seven arms and sucks?
I hesitate to ask.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Go ahead.
Def Leppard.
Okay.
Pour some Splenda on me, because I'm on a diet of love. That's really bad. Zane, where do you come up with these bad jokes, man?
I'm just full of them today, I guess.
Yeah, you're full of something, so.
Somebody give me my nerve tonic. This is going to be a bad day. I can see it.
So, would you say that wrestler, was he kicking ass in the ring?
He did a 619, but how can you do it with no legs? He called a 6-1 stub.
Let's get back. I am so sorry I even asked this question, to be honest with you. Remember, the comments you heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of intelligent human beings, and we are proving it right now. So,
can you see the T-shirt? The T-shirt marked for that. Oh my Lord.
Okay. Ba-dum-bum.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's get back into more. Let's talk a little bit about that six-woman tag with the Japanese wrestlers.
He has to rein us back in.
Yeah.
I guess I've lost control, guys. I've lost control.
Zane, come back to Earth. Come on now.
Send him some Xanax, man.
I just think that it's great that you're like, all of a sudden you're just like, oh, well, let's just change topics. Like this has been a terrible segment.
You said it, I didn't.
What is that? We'll have to crawl through this one real quick.
Yeah. Oh, guys. Yeah. God. Yeah, okay. Call me the voice of reason here really quick. Back to Double or Nothing on Saturday night from Las Vegas.
Oh, my gosh.
I've got him started. He's never going to stop. He's going to be laughing the whole time through this now, so...
It's because I can't stop thinking about the guy with no legs and Lieutenant Dan. Okay, I'm good now.
Remember our motto, we call them as we see them. If we don't see them, we make them up. So,
yes. Well, you couldn't see him in the ring unless you...
Okay.
Sorry. So, Dave.
Yes.
So the triple
Brett tag team with the Japanese gals.
Uh-huh.
Who were they? Okay, that, let's talk about, wait. Let's talk about that for a second. There was a lot of people in there in Double or Nothing.
Right.
That I don't know. There was a lot of you didn't know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So is that good or bad? What do you think, Dave?
Well, you got to be introduced to these people somewhat, and I think that JR and the those who were doing the announcing were doing a pretty good job explaining who these guys were, our guys and gals. There was that tag team that came from China that was there, and they talked about Oriental Wrestling Entertainment is what they called themselves. They talked about them. They talked about this... the Japanese lady wrestlers that were there in that six-woman tag, they told what they were doing. They explained that one of them was a trainer that had trained some of the people on the other side of the ring. And then, if you remember in that six-woman tag, that is, they had the really large woman who, she was a trainer. She was the woman who trained Awesome Kong. And in... And I'm gonna say this, and I'm hoping Zane can keep it together, because I think JR had the line of the night when this lady first got in the ring, and she's got face paint on, reminiscent of the way Sting used to put his face paint on, and he says that you won't find that woman in the kitchen cooking biscuits.
Hmm.
I loved that line.
Now she'll be eating the biscuits. She'd be eating the biscuits. Oh yeah. Mm. But, like, it's amazing she didn't eat one of those little Japanese girls.
Oh yeah. But boy, that was one of my most entertaining matches of the night. And
that Japanese style is something else, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? It was fun, yeah.
You know, it's interesting to when you see people talk about professional wrestling and they think of you know, the stomps and a suplex and this and that. But they don't really realize the different styles that come out of Japan and the luchador style,
right.
And the, you know, even a cruiserweight type style. And, you know, there's a lot of different things that were shown off last night that were different. Like in the Battle Royale, for instance, one of my favorite guys in there, I turned it on and I was like, this guy is, who the heck is this? And Luchasaurus.
Oh, I love Luchasaurus.
And, dude, that guy is excellent.
He wrestled for a short time in Lucha Underground. He's done some things with ROH recently, too, but he's mainly a Lucha star. And he's awesome. I love him. So.
Yeah, it was super, super good.
Yeah.
Super good. There was a lot of... Billy Gunn was in the Battle Royale, and Tommy Dreamer was in there. So there was a few bigger names, I guess. What do they call them? Veterans.
Yeah.
Veterans in the ring. Well, there were veterans in the ring, but there were also some people that didn't deserve to be in that ring. Like, there was this Jungle Boy. Oh, you didn't like Jungle Boy? I don't like Jungle Boy. I mean, he looks like Eminem on steroids. Oh, well, you know who Jungle Boy is, don't you? Yeah, he's off of the movie Jungle Boy, correct? No, he's that's Luke Perry's son, late Luke Perry.
Yeah.
Oh,
it is.
Well, he's making quite a splash on the independent scene, though. Yeah, he made a splash last night too. So yeah, I thought he did a really good job. He's really young, I think, isn't he, Dave?
I believe he's like 20 years old. You know, he's really just getting started. Very thin.
Give that boy a sandwich or something. My gosh, you can see right through him. I mean, but they had some big heavyweights there, too, that I can't believe that they had enough spandex to make it go around. Yeah, so, they did. I mean, there were some big guys in that ring. I mean, I don't know, but the one with the mask with the horns on it, that looked like... Luchasaurus, he kind of freaked me out when I first saw it. I was like, yeah, this. Yeah, I did like him, though. I thought he was an ex-member of GWAR or something like that, like the band. Yeah, maybe he is.
He wrestled as part of the Rabbit Tribe in Lucha Underground. And I think he's a talent. He's a big guy. He can really move. I was glad to find out that he was part of at least that event last night.
So, what did you think about the tag match between the Young Bucks and
Lucha Brothers?
Pentagon. Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was excellent storytelling. Once again, they showed how the Young Bucks had gone to AAA and captured the tag team title down there in the AAA promotion. And then the Lucha Bros, sometimes that they're called, they were both in Lucha Underground, and they've also wrestled a lot in Impact Wrestling. And I guess they're going to be a big part of what's going on with All Elite. And there's been a lot of talk about WWE was interested in having him, and I guess they weren't having the same interest in his real-life brother, Phoenix, and he just didn't want to break up that much of a brotherhood.
Was it you, Chris, that you commented, or maybe you were saying something to me the other day when we were talking that you're not a big Young Bucks fan?
No, I'm not a big fan of 20,000 super kicks and slapping your thigh acting like you've actually hit somebody. No, I'm not a big fan of the Young Bucks. I mean, if somebody kicks you that many times with a super kick or a side kick, your jaw is going to be dislocated or broken. And no, I'm not a big fan of them. Oh. I mean, there's just so many times you could do a super kick and get away with it every time.
Well, Jimmy and Jey Uso seem to do it about every third move.
Oh. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a big Young Bucks fan. They're just too hype. Too much
really?
Hype.
Really?
Yes.
Too
yes,
much
sir.
Hype.
Too much hype.
What do you think, Dave?
Well, I go back to the old TNA wrestling years and years ago when Matt and his brother were just starting. They did a program with the Motor City Machine Guns, one of the greatest tag teams of all time. And when they came to the ring, here's going to be a squash match. And it was one of the most entertaining tag matches I have ever seen. So I'm a little bit like Chris. I think the super kick party, I think that's a little much, but that's opinion. And I really thought that the match last night with the Lucha Brothers was fun.
Oh, Pentagon, he is so good, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
My goodness.
And that little no fear chant he does with the crowd in Spanish, that's excellent. Yeah. That is so awesome. So let me ask you guys a question. I don't know if you noticed it like I did, but several times during the commentary, Jim Ross talked about tag team wrestling and how maybe this will bring tag team wrestling back because it has been in the background for so long. Is this a good strategy for All Elite to start relying on tag teams a little bit more?
Take this one first, Chris.
Well, I believe it's about time the tag team wrestling came back into the forefront of professional wrestling because it's been put on the back burner, or the wrestlers, the tag teams have been made out of a joke. I'm putting Icy Hot in their trunk so they can make idiots out of themselves, or make them build up to be like the Legion of Doom, and then all of a sudden you don't ever see them again. Yeah, tag team wrestling needs to come back into the fold because we're missing it in professional wrestling, and they did it last night. Perfectly.
Well, I go back to what do they call it—the nostalgia era, or I don't know one of the names. What do they call it, Dave? When it was in the 80s and the early 90s.
Good wrestling.
Yeah. You know, this is my way back story, Dave. Yes, yeah, so you go clear back to Memphis. I recall we used to have a good friend. His name was Jared Tatro. Still friends, but not as close as we were. And we used to have, we called them tater parties. And so we'd all get together at Jared's house and we'd go, his mom would take us into Hastings and we would rent old WWF pay-per-views. And we would go back to Jared's house and watch WWF pay-per-views for hours upon end. And then beat the hell out of his little brothers. but I remember just watching some of those. I mean, in the older those older pay-per-views, and there was a lot of tag team wrestling. You know, you had, you know, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, and you had the Bushwhackers, and then Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man, you know, the Mega Powers. You could go on for days. Like Chris said, the Legion of Doom, Demolition, Axe and Smash, Earthquake and
Typhoon.
Yeah.
The natural disasters, what they called themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you could go on for hours. And you know, here we are naming all these tag teams. And now let's name a tag team of recent. I mean, there's the Usos, right?
And the New Day.
The
Briscoe Brothers.
Yeah. Well, you're talking more into the WWE because the Briscoes are featured so much in the Ring of Honor. I think it's where the tag team wrestling has really diminished in quality and style is right at the WWE's front step.
Oh yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, and you know, think about what they did with the War Raiders. I mean, that was, we talked about that on episodes ago. I mean, and you know, that wrestling guy, he really told us about that. You know, he said that there goes their career. I mean, literally, they've made a joke out of their name. And so they're gone. And have you seen them on TV since?
Nope.
You know?
Very little.
It's like Chris said, you know, they come up and they'll have a couple matches on TV and they're gone. You know, I mean,
it's just amazing how they have destroyed. How they've done these tag teams, which that's what really people are really wanting to watch is the tag teams. So, I mean, that needs to come back. Okay, there you are.
Well, I think it goes right back on Vince's step. It's well known that Vincent Kennedy McMahon Jr. does not enjoy tag team wrestling or doesn't think very highly of it. But I, for one, I've always been a fan of it. And I just noticed that several times JR mentioned about tag team wrestling. That was awesome.
He just doesn't enjoy it. Then why was in the late 80s and stuff, why was it so prominent?
I can't even tell you. And then you see how the Shield became so popular as not necessarily as a tag team, but as a group. But they also did tags. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what's in Vince's mind. If anything, it sometimes you got to think about that. But
well,
yeah,
and,
it,
you know,
it was fun.
Chris made a point of the tag teams and almost just become a joke. It's like that's their comedic bit. Is, you know, think about what they did with Gallows and Harper, or Doc Gallows and
the Good Brothers,
isn't that right?
Anderson,
Carl Anderson, and
Luke Gallows,
sorry. And you know, those guys, the best freaking tag team on the independents at the time, and in the best tag team in New Japan, and the WWE gets a hold of them and makes them into a damn joke.
Right.
You know, and now you've got, I don't know, pardon my lack of knowledge, but who's the tag team that they're making fun of right now, washing each other's backs?
The Revival.
I mean, those guys are good, though.
They are excellent,
and they've got a good gimmick. They've got a good stick. They've got a lot of talent, and they're a damn joke. I don't know.
There's a lot of talk that the reason why they became such a joke was because they had asked for their release, and you know, the WWE wasn't going to let them out of their current contract, but this was kind of like a punishment towards that. That's internet chatter. I don't know whether that's true or not, to be honest. That, you know, you believe everything you read on the internet, bonjour.
Oh, yeah. Especially when I go to Kayfabe News, I believe everything.
Well, yeah. Of course, you got to believe everything on the internet. I mean, yeah. They say peanut butter and mayo sandwiches are good.
DirtySheets.com. Everybody believes everything up there, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, I just thought that was an interesting discussion about the state of tag team wrestling because they had a lot of tag teams on last night, and I was impressed. And then hearing JR say that more power to him.
Well, on the subject of tag teams, Dave, what do you think about that? The six-man tag titles that are—that's kind of a new thing, as of late in other promotions as well.
Well, they've done that in the past, and it's never really caught on for some reason. I don't know whether it's the wrestlers themselves that don't like to be stuck in a six-man. Maybe the payoff isn't as good per match. I don't know, but I think anytime you can have a good tag match and you've got people that can work well together, and then they have a tag team across the aisle that works well together. And I'll give you a perfect example, and it is in the WWE. It's the Usos and the New Day. Those two teams have put on some spectacular matches in the past, and that's how I look at that. And then Chris mentioned the Briscoe brothers in ROH. They are incredible. I love watching the Briscoes in a tag team.
You want a real good six-man tag team that was back in the day, we have to go to the Fabulous Freebirds.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they held the six-man tag team back in WCCW so many times in Texas. But see, six-man tags, they don't have the luster like they used to. ROH has got it going on.
Yeah.
But who's talking about a six-man tag? Nobody.
Yeah.
It's not box office, ladies and gentlemen.
Not putting butts in seats.
Nope. It's not. Not putting those derrieres in those seats.
Okay, I want to talk about two more things, and you guys can talk about anything you want to talk about. But I think these are the two main things that came out from All or Nothing to me. And one was the last match with Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho. I was just looking on realwrestling.com, I think it is, on their Facebook page. And some people were, complaining about Chris Jericho, who looks like he has put on a couple of pounds, being out of shape. But he put on a great show. And Kenny Omega, most people had never seen Kenny Omega. And there's a lot of people say, I had never seen Kenny before, but man, that guy can go. I want to get your guys' take on Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho.
I'll let you have this one.
Chris Jericho, out of shape, my butt. The guy, Chris, he came out, he said not too long ago, it was in one of his podcasts. He says, he's like, I don't lift weights anymore. I don't hit the gym hard. He says, I just do DDP yoga. He says, because he's like, who cares? If he's, it doesn't matter if you're 180 pounds or 170. If you're agile and if you're in shape, if your cardio is good, and the big thing with somebody like Chris with his age and stuff is if he's agile, he doesn't need to have a six pack. I don't see the need for him to look like Ricochet. I mean,
None of us can look like Ricochet, I'll tell you that. So, Chris?
Ricochet with this 8-pack.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Kenny Omega is the cleaner. Kenny Omega has proven himself inside and outside of the ring. He's held the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. He's held the IWGP Intercontinental title. And he's held millions and millions of belts, just like Chris Jericho. But Kenny Omega, they call him the cleaner for a reason. And he broke his nose last night.
Oh,
so
yeah.
still finishing the match. But Kenny, I give you credit, brother. You put on a heck of a match with Chris Jericho, Alpha versus Omega, part two. And it turned out really well, just like the first time.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho, my hats off to you. For being your age, you can still do those lion salts. You can still do everything you have. And your band still sucks.
What? You don't like Fozzy, dude?
I like Fozzy.
No, I don't like Fozzy.
Oh, dude.
And Fozzy just signed a record deal, by the way, I think with Atlantic Records. I think it was one of the major record labels.
Well, that's great. I mean, what's their next song? Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? I mean, I've never heard a song from him yet.
You got to listen to Fozzy.
Okay.
They're so good.
And he sings his own songs, Break the Walls Down. I mean, I've never heard him if he did that or not. So, I don't know. I mean, okay, I'll listen to Fozzy.
Judas, what is it? Judas is My Life. Dude, that song is so good. So good.
Is Fozzie Bear with him?
Oh, dude, they're good, though.
Waka, waka.
Waka, yeah.
Maybe we should put some Fozzie in here right now.
Sounds
so
good.
Okay, let's get off that subject real quick, and I think we'll end it with the way that the pay per view ended. But I wanted to go back.
No.
You don't want to end it with way it ended.
We are not ending it with that. Not even close.
Okay, we're going to end it
We haven't even scratched the surface of the entire match. The match of the year.
I was going to start that right now. Then I'll talk about.
Oh.
Well, okay. Let's use that as the last. Okay. Let's reboot here because I will agree with you. John Moxley coming in at the end and tearing up Kenny Omega, going to set up a great feud.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Dave?
You know what? I can't complain too much about anything in All In. JR struggled a little bit with the format and using the teleprompter. They kind of got lost a couple of times. But Moxley being there, I loved it, loved it, loved it.
Wow. Yeah, that was a neat surprise, wasn't it?
It was.
It was okay, I guess.
What?
What?
It was okay.
What?
It was okay.
It was, you were wanting CM Punk?
Yes.
No.
Well, yes. CM Punk's done, dude. He ain't.
Yes,
he ain't.
I was wanting Punk. I was hoping that the best in the world would have showed up. So.
Okay, Chris, you remember earlier in the podcast when we talked about on our Turnbuckle Trash Facebook page and that we will appreciate everybody's opinion. That opinion sucks, man. I was only kidding. I was only kidding, man.
Yes, I got you.
Yeah.
Ooh, shots fired.
Yeah. Okay. No, honestly, I don't know what the fascination is with Punk. That's my opinion. You tell me the fascination with Punk.
I'll tell you what the fascination is with Punk. It's real simple. People want to hear him go off on the mic, drop the pipe bombs, and flip the camera off to Vince McMahon and said, "I'm back." That's what they want. And I was hoping and praying that they would just, you know, drive truckloads of money up to him and say, "Come on, just make an appearance. You've already done it since 2013. You've been making these private appearances in a mask. Why can't you do it now? Come on."
Maybe he will. Maybe he will.
I would love to see. I want to see CM Punk.
You know,
just one time.
One thing I was thinking of, Dave and Chris, was when Ambrose came out with that Moxley video on his Twitter and Facebook and stuff, and changed his Twitter handle and things like that. And I knew that I kind of had a feeling that, I would imagine most people did. I wouldn't necessarily say it was predictable, but most people had a feeling that he was going to AEW because the production value of that video was excellent.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, it literally looks like a movie being shot, you know, and it was, the camera was really, really good. And to go back to CZW, I don't think they could afford to have camera work and a commercial quite like that.
Right. So
you knew that there had to be a little bit of cashola behind that little vignette or whatever.
So, okay. So, I thought it was okay. Chris, you wanted to have Punk back, and you're in the minority here, dude. So, no, you're welcome to your opinion, man.
Okay.
I was only serious.
But if you notice in that video when he was doing it for Moxley, there was a dice on there that said 25, and there was a viper underneath of it. So, I mean, we all didn't know whether he was coming back to the WWE to face the viper or he was going to AEW. We didn't know.
Yeah.
And everybody, I love that one thing I saw on Facebook. He goes, "Oh, Moxley's a work, right? Mox is a work, right? Bullshit. Yeah, whatever. He's there.
Yeah.
And he looked. I was surprised everybody didn't start saying Shield, 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 Shield. No.
I thought it was pretty fun, though.
Yeah, I did. I liked
it. He's done a little variant to the. Maybe that's going back to his CZW days on the Dirty Deeds. It's a little bit different than he did in the WWE. I didn't notice that.
As long as they don't take that power saw and go against his head like they did in CCW.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I got one question for the both of y'all. What did you think about Bret Hart?
I thought it was a nice tribute because, you know, Bret Hart being from Canada and both people in the main event from Canada, I thought that was cool.
And that belt was beautiful.
Yeah, that was cool.
Now, I can't remember the wrestler who came out to that was kind of like an EC3 character. I've seen him on Major League Wrestling. I saw him on that one time. Very arrogant. He's out there. I did like it the one time when he's walking down with the microphone. He says, "Brett, there's a fan behind you." Obvious reference to what happened at the Hall of Fame ceremony. And they went to Brett, and he just was kind of smiling and shaking his head. I thought that was funny. But, yeah, I thought it was nice to be able to have Brett out there. And I imagine if Vince didn't know, I imagine there was a few turned heads at the offices at the WWE Titan Sports because of that.
He broke every piece of furniture in that house when Brett pulled up. And I'll make you a bet he almost had a heart attack. They had the defibrillator right beside him just in case.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens, boys. These guys are going to be – it's going to be interesting with AEW because they've already shot the first shot. So the war has now begun.
Speaking of shots fired, what was the point behind – I know what it is, but I'm just asking you guys. What was the point of the sledgehammer in the throne with the crosses on it and the skulls?
Chris?
That was to Triple H.
Oh,
that was to Triple H and to tell him that the Attitude Era is now over. That was his way of getting rid of the Attitude Era, of killing the Attitude Era, and to tell him that he's not the king like he thinks he is. So a shot fired at Triple H. I'll be surprised on Monday Night Raw if Triple H don't come out and start saying things or, you know, dropping little hints to Cody that he really don't care, but I think it'll be good for Monday Night Raw. Now they're going to have to step up their game.
All right. So there was a reference in that about WrestleMania 30. I think it was when the King of Kings actually came out. He was sitting on the throne with the skulls and all. I think that's what the reference was, and I think it was WrestleMania 30. I liked the bit when Brandy pulls out the sledgehammer from underneath the ring. I started laughing. I laughed out loud. So
yeah, that was pretty good. Hey, did you tell me how cool it was to see DDP there too? Right,
it was cool. It was awesome.
It was super cool.
somebody else was there too. Mark Henry.
Oh, Mark was there.
I didn't see Mark there.
Mark Henry was there, but he was in the back doing interviews. You didn't see him, but
cool.
He was back there.
That's
Mark
cool.
Henry was
cool.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mark was there. Jerry Lawler, I think Jerry was trying to make his way to Las Vegas as well. I don't know who all else was there, but I know that there was a lot of former WWE superstars were there.
But Dave, now we need to talk about the match of the year.
The match of the year.
No, it wasn't the match of the year, in my opinion. It wasn't the match of the year because of, you know, I recall a couple years ago when we talked about the Ricochet and
Will Ospreay.
Yeah, Will Ospreay match. You know, a lot of high flying. It was something a little different. This match had a lot of high spots, a lot of good moves, but the story behind this match was I texted you, Dave, after I saw that match, and I said, do you remember what I told you?
Something about storytelling. Now, that was storytelling, I think, is what you texted.
Yeah, and I said, that right there is an example of why people say, why do you like wrestling? Why do you like wrestling? If everybody could know just a thread of the background and then watch that match and then watch the ending, of that match, I mean, that was, dude, I almost cried. I was almost crying with them, dude. I was like,
now, okay, if somebody said, what are they talking about? We're talking Cody against Dustin, brother against brother. And I honestly, I my wife actually was watching the pay-per-view with me last night, and I give her comments because she didn't know whether she wanted to watch, but she sat there and watched a little bit of it, and then she got hooked, and she really enjoyed it because of the storytelling, not only of that match, but I'm going back to that match when Dustin was cut wide open, and Dustin was leaning on the mat, and blood was pouring out of his head. Just literally a stream of blood coming out of his head. And I said, but look at how the use of the blood helps tell the story. Mm-hmm. It made sense to me.
It wasn't just nonsense blood.
Right.
It wasn't just a hardcore match to just to bleed, you know. Right. It was
there was reason.
My gosh. You know, there was so much emotion on both sides. It was unbelievable. Just the, you could tell that both of those guys put their heart and soul into that match. I mean, that was something that was, in my eyes, that was 110% tribute to the American Dream.
It was, because you could hear everybody in the crowd going, Dusty, Dusty. And then you saw Dustin look, point his finger up to the heavens, and then both of them had to take a step back because they were so full of emotion. I mean, it was real. These two are fixing to go at it, and everyone's calling for Dusty's name. And it was hard to see these two go at it and Dusty not in the corner of one of the two. So, but yeah, it was a great match. I'll give him that. It was a great match. Great storytelling. Yeah. Great story.
Yeah. Yeah, and I loved the little shots to the Stardust character. there was some pretty good little digs to that. They you know a little bit more about that than I do, as far as the Stardust stuff. So was that Cody's idea? Was that the WWE's idea? Why? I mean, because that was basically the reason why he left the WWE.
Yeah, I believe it had to do with the WWE. I don't think Cody disagreed with it at first, but that was one of the reasons why he left. He wanted to go in a different direction. He didn't want to do the Stardust character anymore, and the WWE insisted on that. And that's when he asked for his release. And more power to him. I heard an interview with him, and he said that when he asked for his release, he had no idea what was going to happen in the next 3 years, because he was just going to go on the independent circuit and do what he wanted to do. But you look at what he has done and what he has accomplished since then, and now with the All Elite Wrestling, it wasn't in his plan. And I just got to tip my hat to him. That's incredible.
You know, Dave, I was a little bit leery of, not I wouldn't say leery, but you know, I was a little bit critical of the situation when we talked last time, you know, about what's going to happen with the TV deal, what's going to happen. But, boy, if they keep these pay-per-views up, and if they can market these pay-per-views at an affordable price and a good outlet, then people will watch it just for the pay-per-views.
Right.
You know, and I'll tell you right now, if they came out with a streaming type service, I would buy it right now. I would, and they offered pay-per-views, you know, even if you had to have the streaming service and then paid a little extra for pay-per-views or something like that.
Yeah, that's what ROH does.
I would buy it.
Yeah.
Just because I'm that interested in it. And right now is the time that they need to do that. While everybody is interested in AEW, I'll bet you if they announced a network tomorrow with the highlight of this pay-per-view, dude, their network would go through the roof.
Oh, yeah. So,
you know, because that was the big thing with the big gripe on social media was access to the pay-per-view. You know, people were like, well, we don't have cable. We don't want to, you know, pay $50 for it. And, you know,
that was the biggest letdown of all time, was that a lot of people were saying, well, it's too much to see something for this many hours. when, and a lot of people going, hey, guess what? They're doing Money in the Bank again. I'm just going to go over there and watch that.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta admit, when you think about the network, $9.99 a month, but wait, there's more. And then you go and you pay anywhere from $50 to $60 for the opportunity to watch the Double or Nothing pay-per-view. I had to think about it. I had to think about it. I lucked out because my birthday is coming up on Thursday, and I looked at my wife, and she said, okay. And I don't know if I could have paid $60 if I looked, you know, if I didn't know how good the event was going to be. But I did, and I'm glad I did.
I'm glad that you got to watch that, Dave, and happy birthday this week.
Thank you.
Yes. How old are you, 45?
Yes, let's say 45. We won't say anything about the gray hair or the white beard.
How old are you going to be, Dave?
I'm going to be 62 and proud of it.
62.
62 and proud of it.
62.
Yeah.
62. Well, happy birthday this week, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you so much.
It's coming.
Uh-huh. And so did they announce the next pay-per-view for
August the 31st, I believe. August the 31st. They're going to have an event in June where it's kind of like, I can't remember, but it's to support people that have passed away because of gun violence. And that's what the money is going to be raised for. And then there's going to be an August 31st at the Sears building that the Bulls play in. So this is a major stadium that will hold upwards of 20,000.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's August the 31st, I believe it is.
Well, all in all, it's been an exciting weekend for professional wrestling, and it's a great time to be a wrestling fan, isn't it?
I think we need to do a group hug because to honor Cody and Dustin when they hugged it out at the end.
Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers got a hug.
We have the guy when we could do this hug. Do we have the guy that has no legs?
Let's not do that again, guys.
That'll have to be in the blooper reel.
Well, thanks, guys. It's been
great to talk to you both. It has been wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, that's our special edition of Turnbuckle Trash. Final word, Zane.
I made a tri-tip smoked last night and cornbread. Traditional Southern meal.
Yes.
I'm eating cornbread thinking of you, Dave, from the South.
Yeah, thank you. I had kettle corn. Chris?
No, it was great to hear from both you and Zane. Loved every minute of it. It's great to hear from both of you. Guys, if you want professional wrestling, AEW is now the forerunner. It'll never beat the WWE, but it's going to be a second best one. Let's see how far they can go.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
Listen to him backpedal, Dave.
He must be a politician.
I'm not Hillary Clinton, and I sure as hell ain't Barack Obama.
And we were going, ooh, ooh, ooh.
No, let's just move on to the next thing, Dave.
Let's get back. I am so sorry I even asked this question, to be honest with you. It was a sign, brother. It was a sign. Pour some Splenda on me, because I'm on a diet of love.
That's the rain of spec in. Yeah.
I guess I've lost control, guys. I've lost control. You won't find that woman in the kitchen cooking biscuits.
They say peanut butter and mayo sandwiches are good.
Okay, Chris, you remember earlier in the podcast when we talked about on our Turnbuckle Trash Facebook page and that we will appreciate everybody's opinion. That opinion sucks, man. No. Remember, the comments you heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of intelligent human beings, and we are proving it right now, so I've lost control, guys.